Chapter 3. The Big Brown River drops nonchalantly south from Tennessee and runs as straight as a hand-dug channel for 30 miles through the center of Tyler County, Mississippi. 2 miles above the Ford County line, it begins twisting and looping, and by the time it leaves Tyler County, it looks like a scared snake, curling desperately and going nowhere. Its water is thick and heavy, muddy and slow, shallow in most places. The Big Brown is not known for its beauty. Sand, silt, and gravel bars line its innumerable bends and curves. 100 sloughs and creeks feed it with an inexhaustible supply of slow-moving water. Its journey through Ford County is brief. It dips and forms a wide circle around 2,000 acres in the northeasternmost corner of the county, then leaves and heads back toward Tennessee. The circle is almost perfect, and an island is almost formed. But at the last moment, the Big Brown turns away from itself and leaves a narrow strip of land between its banks. The circle is known as Paget Island, a deep, dense woodland covered in pine, gum, elm, oak, and a myriad of swamps and bayous and sloughs, some connected but most isolated. Little of the rich soil had ever been cleared. Nothing was harvested on the island except timber and lots of corn for illegal whiskey and marijuana, but that was a later story. On the thin strip of land between the banks of the Big Brown, a paved road entered and left, came and went, always with someone watching. The road was built long ago by the county, but very few taxpayers ever dared to use it. The entire island had been in the Paget family since Reconstruction, when Rudolph Paget, a carpetbagger from the north, arrived a bit late after the war and found all the prime land taken. He searched in vain, found nothing attractive, then somehow stumbled upon the snake-infested island. On the map, it looked promising. He put together a band of newly freed slaves and, with guns and machetes, fought his way onto the island. No one else wanted it. Rudolph married a local whore and began cutting timber. Since timber was in great demand after the war, he became prosperous. The local proved to be quite fertile, and soon there was a horde of little Pagets on the island. One of his ex-slaves had learned the art of distillery. Rudolph became a corn farmer, who neither ate nor sold his crop, but instead used it to produce what was soon known as one of the finest whiskeys in the Deep South. For 30 years, Rudolph made moonshine, until he died of cirrhosis in 1902. By then, an entire clan of Pagets inhabited the island and were quite proficient at milling timber and producing illegal whiskey. Scattered about the island were half a dozen distilleries, all well protected and concealed, all operating with state-of-the-art machinery. The Pagets were famous for their whiskey, though fame was not something they sought. They were secretive and clannish, fiercely private, and deathly afraid that someone might infiltrate their little kingdom and disrupt their considerable profits. They said they were loggers, and it was well known that they produced timber and were prosperous at it. The Paget Lumber Company was very visible on the main highway near the river. They claimed to be legitimate people, taxpayers and such, with their children in the public schools. During the 1920s and 1930s, when alcohol was illegal and the nation was thirsty, Paget whiskey could not be distilled fast enough. It was shipped in oak barrels across the Big Brown and hauled by trucks up north, as far away as Chicago. The patriarch, president, and director of production and marketing was a tight-fisted old warrior named Clovis Paget, eldest son of Rudolph and the local. Clovis had been taught at an early age that the best profits were those from which no taxes were extracted. That was lesson number one. Number two preached the marvelous message of dealing strictly in cash. Clovis was a hard-nosed cash and no taxes man, and the Pagets were rumored to have more money than the Mississippi State Treasury.